All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10. Genesis chapter 49, 8 through 10. We're going to be there in just a moment. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you an early Labor Day holiday. I'm just going to look at two passages tonight. Reason being, the next passage I want to look at is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 8 through 16. That deals with the Davidic covenant, the promise of the Messiah who would come in the line of David. And I would not have time enough to put that in tonight because of the length of it. So tonight we're just going to look at two. And you see on your board screen, the ones that we've looked at already. There's going to be so many, after a while I won't be able to put them all up there. But that's just for way of remembrance. Before we read our text tonight, we're looking at the sufferings and the death and the resurrection of Christ as promised in the Old Testament. And Jesus in Luke chapter 24, remember talking to the disciples of going to Emmaus, and also couldn't understand the fact why he was crucified and didn't really know that he had been resurrected. They thought somebody had stole his body. And Jesus begins to tell them why these things must be from the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis, going to Malachi. And proving also the deity of Christ and the person and work of the Holy Trinity in the Old Testament. Let me give you some quick ones, okay? And you may be ready to write these down. But we're not going to look at them in depth tonight. But there are other prophecies that deal with the life, the birth and the life of our Lord. Exodus chapter 20, we see Jesus as the Passover lamb. Because how do we know that's a prophecy of Jesus? Well, Paul tells us in the New Testament that Christ is our Passover, okay? In Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, and Numbers chapter 20, we see Jesus as the smitten rock. Paul later tells us this rock is Christ, okay? And we also mentioned tonight Exodus 16, where we see Jesus as the manna, the bread of life. And we know that speaks of Jesus because what apostle talked about the bread of life? John, and not my John, but John the Apostle. And in Leviticus 16, we see Jesus as the Day of Atonement. All of those are capitalized in your Bible because it's speaking of the person and work of Christ as the Day of Atonement. Remember, we see in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In Leviticus 23, we see Jesus in the seven Jewish feasts. All of them deal with the person and work of Christ, not only as Israel. These were meant to Israel to point them to the Messiah, but they missed the full meaning of them. They were fulfilled in Christ. In Numbers chapter 21, Jesus is seen as the bronze serpent. Of course, we know that means Christ was lifted up on the cross, right? All that look to him in faith will be saved from the bondage of their sins. That's what we're saved from, the bondage of our sins. We're not saved from anything else because we were in our trespasses and sins and deserve judgment. We deserved hell. But salvation is from sin to the Savior. Now, there are very other prophecies that deal with the birth and life of Christ that told us exactly what tribe he would come from. He would come from the tribe of Judah that we're going to talk about tonight. And he did. He would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. House of bread, house of David, being in the line of David, born in the same place as David was. He would come from the line of David. He would be David's son, yet David, he would be David's Lord, right? And he comes from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he comes from the stem of Jesse, and y'all know the story there. Now, tonight we're going to look at two often overlooked Old Testament prophecies that deal with the Messiah. One is, the first one we're going to look at is in Genesis 49, 8 through 10. And then we're going to look in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 through 18. These are often overlooked, okay? But we're going to look at them very briefly tonight. And let's stand in honor of God's word and let's read Genesis 49, 8 through 10. What you have here is Jacob blessing his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and it's a prophetic announcement here, a blessing, dealing with which tribe the Messiah would come from. Beginning in verse 49, verse 8. Judah, thou be he who thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. We know what that when that happened. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as a old lion, he shall rouse him up. Now here's the prophecy. How many of you have a Bible that gives you an Old Testament prophecy, lets you know it's an Old Testament prophecy? It might be a star or something right there that lets you know it's an Old Testament prophecy that is fulfilled in the New Testament. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Is Shiloh capitalized in your Bible? That's a messianic title. Till Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Father, I pray tonight as we look at these two passages, and one in Deuteronomy, one in Genesis, again, that we'll look at these, again, often overlooked. You don't hear about them much. They're there. People know it, but it's not one that you often refer to. That you teach us from your word tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Genesis 49, 8 through 10, we see Jesus as Shiloh, who was to come. Now, here again, you have Jacob blessing his 12 sons and a prophetic blessing. And he's saying that Judah's tribe will rule and possess the scepter. The scepter was a symbol of royalty until Shiloh comes. Now, the messianic blessing would fall on Judah, okay? Shiloh is Israel's prince who would come from the tribe of Judah. And Shiloh also was understood as a messianic title as King Messiah to the Jews. It's often, we see this here in verses 8, 9, and 10, it's often referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, okay? Now, we know when he came first, he came as a lamb, right? When he comes again, at the battle of Armageddon, he's going to come as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, Shiloh means to whom it belongs, okay? And you get the point right here now, where we're going, to whom it belongs. The scepter would be handed down in a succession of kings, in other words, 640 years, till the final king to whom it belongs would come. And that is the culmination of the Lord Jesus Christ and his millennial reign, as promised here in this text. And he would reign forever. And we're going to see that next week in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 8 through 16, as he promised David an everlasting king who would sit on his throne. Okay? So that's the first passage. That's pretty clear, right? When Shiloh comes. I know of a church today, and you know of the church called New Shiloh. You know, I believe that's probably where they get their name. New Shiloh, New Testament Shiloh, the Messiah is here. The name of our church, if you look in our history and our records, and it's spelled out in the old the records that I've been able to look at in the photo album, Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? I like churches with biblical names. I don't like names of places that call themselves places of worship and they ain't got the word church in them, right? If you're going to be a Baptist, call yourself a Baptist. If you're going to be Calvary Chapel, call yourself Calvary Chapel, right? If you're going to be Methodist, call yourself Methodist. Don't be ashamed of the people you belong to unless they don't bring the doctrine of Christ. And then you need to get out, right? So this is Shiloh here. Now everybody turn with me and we're going to look at the... And I hope you get my drift tonight. I'm not trying to be short, but I can't go into 2 Samuel because I won't do it justice. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And so how you would defend Shiloh to people, you would tell them, what I just told you, that there is a promise of a king who would come from the tribe of Judah in fulfillment, and of course that was Christ. Deuteronomy 18, look in verses 15 through 18. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18. Here we see Jesus pictured as the prophet who would be raised up like unto Moses, okay? This often is a neglected prophecy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice that's capitalized. It's capitalized in my Bible. It's not talking about no ordinary prophet. From the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him. Now this is Moses speaking to the people. Unto me and unto him you shall hearken. Or according to all that thou desireth of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, and they have well spoken, which thou hast spoken. And I will, verse 18, and I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Remember what Jesus said? I speak only those things that the Father has given me, right? And he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto him my words, which he shall speak in my name, I require it of him. Let's see, how far did I tell you to go? We'll stop right there. This is a promise of a prophet who would come, who would be like Moses. Now, Jesus had three prophetic offices. He had the office of prophet, right here. He had the office of priest. He's our great high priest. And the office of king. He is our coming king, right? And he fulfilled all three of those offices. And Moses said he's going to be as I am. He's going to be like me. Moses is a type of Christ. Moses' life, his person and work typify what Christ fulfilled in the New Testament. In a series of prophets accumulating in the Messiah. Okay? Now, how was Jesus like Moses? That's what we're going to answer tonight. Number one, he would be of thy brethren. He would be an Israelite. He would be a Jew, right? Number two, he would be like unto Moses. Now, how was that? He would declare God's word with authority, right? He would talk to God face to face, just like Moses did. He would perform miracles in public, just like Moses did. He would be a lawgiver and a mediator like Moses. Moses was a mediator from the people to God, from God to the people. And Christ would be a mediator from us to God the Father and from God the Father back to us. And I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but this is where Catholics get it wrong. They make Mary a co-redeemer and a mediator. There's only one mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you put any other mediator beside them, folks, listen, you're not going to heaven. You perverted the gospel, right? He would be a lawgiver and a mediator like Moses. Number seven, he would be a deliverer who would deliver his people from sin and the world. Now, Moses delivered the Israelites out of slavery, out of Egypt, right? That is a picture of Christ who came and died in our place. He called us out of the world. The Egypt is a type of the world. And he delivered us from the bondage of sin. See, that's what we need to be delivered from. We're not delivered from bad thinking, and we're not delivered from bad looks. We're delivered from the bondage of sin. And the only thing that can do that was the one who was the burnt offering, the Lord Jesus Christ, who come and died in our place. So it's no wonder they expected a Messiah to be a prophet. They were right in that avenue, but they missed the one that Moses was talking about, right? Now, go with me to John. We're going to look at two quick verses. Go with me to John chapter 6, verse 14. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to get into the feeding of the 5,000, but as we look at John's rendering of that. Look in John chapter 6, verse 14. Okay? I'm trying to be slow tonight. I've tried to be very clear, right? Are y'all understanding what your pastor's telling you tonight? Okay. John chapter 6, look in verse 14. This is John's rendering of the feeding of the 5,000. And I've been talking, I'll have been turning, right? Now, look what John said here. And I got one more to go here. Somebody added some pages to my Bible. 6:14. I'm still not there, all right? Look at that. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, the feeding of the multitude, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Right? They knew it, right? This is a fulfillment of the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, go with me to another passage, and then we're going to be gone. I thought I'd let you out earlier, but I'm making this longer than it needs to be. Look in Acts chapter 3. We see another reference here. In Peter's second sermon in the temple, his second message in the temple, he makes reference to this prophet. Look in Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23. Okay? For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Notice in my Bible, it's big letters, it's kind of italics, letting me know it's an Old Testament. Like unto me, him shall all ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So here we have John saying, this is the prophet who is prophesied to come. And we have Peter saying, this is the prophet that you've been looking for, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now next week we're going to look at the Davidic promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 16. And we're going to see that God promised David an everlasting seed who would be an everlasting king. Okay? This is why we know that God's not through with Israel, right? They don't have that king just yet. He is coming, okay? Is that clear, everybody? Y'all see that? And I debated all week about adding another one in, but I don't want to get in the middle of something and can't finish it, right? So let's bow our heads. No invitation tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that as we look at the Old Testament, it's very clear who these passages are talking about. Lord, if they're not talking about the Messiah, who many people deny, who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus Christ, who not only fulfilled the role of the Messiah, but these passages are also talking about the Messiah himself. So continue to teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,